about that. Like it is, this has sucked your brains dry. Wow. Hey, can you hear me?
No.
You're the luckiest one in the Zendo.
Yeah. Come
on over.
Here, Dave.
I do need that.
So good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sure that all of you saw the message that Elizabeth sent out earlier this week regarding Margaret's current status. In the past couple of weeks, she has lost a great deal of her remaining independence. In fact, she is now reliant on the constant support of professional caregivers, a situation that is tragically antithetical to the nature of this strong, independent, and self-reliant woman. Witnessing her going through this process is distressing on many levels. Seeing a brilliant, powerful, and deeply spiritually connected person reduced to a state of complete dependence as she spirals downward is profoundly disturbing, to say the least. From the perspective of the treetop Sangha, for the past 8 years, we have borne witness to the decline of our two beloved founders' lives. Furthermore, the onset of Margaret's illnesses followed so closely on the heels of Steph's dying that I feel we never really got to grieve that loss as fully and deeply as we might have otherwise. On another level, these past 8 years have been a painful reminder of the reality of impermanence and the validity of the Buddha's first noble truth, the truth of dukkha, or suffering, that is born of our resistance to impermanence. I remember writing to another Zen teacher to inform her that Steph had just passed away. Her reply was that this was a good opportunity to be fully awake. At the time, I felt that her response trivialized the incredible loss we were experiencing by reducing it to another opportunity to practice. However, in retrospect, I also recognize that is what Zen requires of us as we respond to difficult times and enormous losses. Those are the Dharma gates that we must wake to. Zen does not offer us any obvious healing salves for our pain. There are no promises that our loved ones will go to a better place. There aren't any platitudinous responses that this is all of unfolding according to some plan. There is no reassurance that it is all for the best. In fact, Zen demands that we look straight at the events that are before our eyes without any filters that might soften or mitigate our response to the reality. Life is suffering, losses are real and painful. We can attempt to escape that reality by using alcohol or drugs. We can seek refuge in all manners of distractions. We can reach out and cling to the delusion of permanence. But those can neither change the reality nor provide any real lasting relief. At best, they are a temporary buffer. But at worst, they can deeply erode our ability to live life to the fullest. Once we start to run from the presence of our discomfort, whether we realize it or not, we have begun to shut down our contact with all of the dimensions of life. Being awake and present to life is not something we can turn on and off, selecting only those things we feel comfortable with. The only way we can truly to show up is to show up for everything, no matter how painful or unpleasant that may sometimes be. Being fully awake is what it means to be fully human. As we live this life, if we are fully open to whatever experiences await us, we are then subject to the whole gamut of emotional experiences, some that we see as pleasant and some that are downright unpleasant. We have to accept the whole package, the laughter and the tears, the joy and the pathos. Now, hearing this, you may wonder whether I really understand the Dharma, which as do I. After all, what of the nirvana that the Buddha spoke about? Isn't ours a path that can alleviate our suffering, releasing us from our negative responses to the vicissitudes of life? There are several ways to answer that question, but the simplest is to look at the perspective of Mahayana Buddhism. I think that Bernie Glassman's threefold approach to responding to the reality of suffering is a concise expression of that Mahayana path. First, Bernie talks about being open. Being open means that we must let go of our conceptions and preconceptions. In the instance of Margaret's illness, decline, and impending death, this means letting go of our inclinations to want it to be otherwise. Of course, because we care about her, we want it to be otherwise. But it's not reality. It cannot be. The reality of this situation is not subject to our choices and desires. It is completely beyond our control. Unpleasant though they may be, the facts lay bare before us. When we are truly open, we can bear witness. Bearing witness isn't just seeing the situation, it's being fully present to it, not objectifying the situation or distancing ourselves from it. No matter how painful it may be to see what Margaret is going through, we cannot avoid that sensation. Margaret's condition and our pain and sorrow are not two things. They are completely inseparable. In bearing witness, we see both sides, the reality and our response to the reality, as two sides of the very same coin. No aspect of the situation can be rejected or pushed away. It is through that completely unvarnished recognition of all dimensions of the circumstances that compassion and loving kindness can flow. Fully embracing the situation, we are able to have compassion for Margaret, for ourselves, and for the essential condition of all life in this impermanent universe. We are moved to tears by the reality of our teacher dying, by the sight of the dead cat at the side of the road, by the deaths of children starving around the globe. When we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to it all, we are touched deeply. And like Avalokitesvara, we respond immediately and naturally, like reaching for our pillow in the middle of the night. Compassion flowing through the vast open space of non-separation breeds a loving response. The coming weeks will be difficult ones for Margaret, for her caregivers, and for the Sangha. I don't know what the precise trajectory of those events is going to be, but I do know that with certainty, that it will be difficult, and it will be painful, and there will be a lot of sorrow, a lot of very complicated emotions. All we can do is show up. Show up and let it happen. Sometimes laugh together, sometimes cry together. sometimes talk together, sometimes be silent together. And the operative word there is the word together. This is a time where the meaning of Sangha is more important than perhaps any other time. You know, we have to show up, we have to be present, we have to go through these things, but we don't have to do it alone. And Margaret doesn't have to do it alone. That's where the compassion flows. And that's where the healing begins. The seeds of the healing live, you know. It was such a, Steph taught again and again the importance of the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. All three standing together. In this case, Margaret is Buddha. Margaret is the Buddha element. Sangha is all of us here, and many others who aren't here this morning. Dharma is this, is the glue that holds it together. The willingness to show up. The willingness to do whatever needs to be done. Willingness to be there for each other. We all want to have stories with happy endings. That's what we grow up with as kids. The fairy tale always has a happy ending. Story doesn't have a happy ending. Many of our stories in life don't have happy endings. But it doesn't make them any worth, less worth living and giving ourselves fully to.
I'm going to ask that we sit now.